Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. And this is a series we're going to be doing in the morning service, but this was too good to wait. So we had to jump ahead and do this message here in 1 Thessalonians. And we'll read the whole first chapter of 1 Thessalonians, and then we'll look at a few different points out of it. 1 Thessalonians, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be to you. Sorry, I'm going to get a drink. Let's try that again. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the true and living, to serve the living and true God. Wow. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. That was a bit more difficult than I thought it should be. I hope you guys would all bear with me on that. Here we have 1 Thessalonians, and we won't go into all the background of the church there at Thessalonica, or as it's called nowadays, Salonika, in Greece. We won't go into all of the details about how Paul was there to plant the church at the beginning. We'll just pull out a few things tonight as we look at this, and as I said, in a few weeks we'll be starting this series in the morning service, and so we'll deal with all of those background things then. We're going to start by noting in verse 1 that the people addressed, that is, the people who this book of 1 Thessalonians is written to, is the church of the Thessalonians. That is, the church that is in that place. The church that gathers together, and by the way, that's what the word church means, the gathering or the assembly, the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a couple of identifiers here. The church gathers together, and what unites us is that we are in God. And we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see this phrase, the Lord Jesus Christ, is repeated a couple of times in these first few verses. And it seems to be a point that Paul is trying to make to the church of the Thessalonians, that they need to regard Jesus as their Lord. But here we see the unity between God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. They are distinct, the Father and the Son, and yet the church is in them. A church is not a church if it does not have God central in it. If God is not central in it. As a church, we can find ourselves busy about doing different activities, or we can find ourselves busy with the songs or the formality of the service. And yet, what is it that brings us to gather together? It is that we have Christ living in us. Christ lives in you. If you know Jesus as Savior, He lives within you, and you are in God the Father, and you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul often begins his letters with a greeting, asking for grace and peace, and we'll look at that in just a moment. But he inserted this teaching regarding God and the Lord Jesus Christ and their centrality to the church before he got to that normal greeting in this instance. He was underlining the fact that Jesus is Lord, that God the Father is central to the church. There are some today who would like to take the Old Testament, you know, those first 66 books, cut them out, throw them away, we're just New Testament. Is it 66? It's not. It's 39. 39. Total is 66 books. They want to cut out the Old Testament, 39 books, and throw them away. Oh, we're just a New Testament church, so we only need the New Testament. We need Jesus. We don't need God the Father. We are a church around Jesus. And yes, the message of Jesus, His salvation, this is central to the gospel. And it is central to how the church runs and operates. But we are not separated from God the Father. We are united in our worship towards God the Father. And we know this because Jesus was perhaps our greatest example. He was our greatest example. He always exalted His Father. He would go around doing miracles and then say, "And not I, but God does this miracle." And He would lift up God in every God the Father in every action and word that He did and said. God the Father was central to Jesus Christ's ministry and message. And so it is for us as well, that the church is not just a Jesus Christ church, but it is God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ are central in our church. It is central to the reason why we are gathering, because they are central to our walk. We then find in the end of verse 1, "Grace be unto you and peace." This is Paul's common greeting, and interestingly enough, this is a common greeting that also John and Peter take up, a similar style of greeting, calling upon grace and peace to come to the person who is reading. And notice he says grace and peace coming from God our Father. And we're going to make a big deal of all of these words here. The object of our church is the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But the source of the grace that we need is God. God is the source of the grace and peace that we need. Sometimes we have people that we trust and rely on, don't we? We have someone that we're comfortable being around, and they can bring to us a measure of peace, or perhaps they can solve a problem for us that we are unable to do. And so they are able to minister grace to us, or they are able to bring us peace. But here, the only peace that Paul is worried about is peace and grace that comes from God, the Father. This is grace and peace to us from God. I want us to notice that, unlike a few words before, here when he says God our Father, he doesn't say God the Father, but he says God our Father. He points out to the Thessalonian church that God is their father, and he is also Paul's father. Okay, this is making Paul equal with the people he was speaking to in that their father is one. God the Father is not just God the Father, he is our Father. This was Paul's cry, and this was his intention that the Thessalonian church understood that God was their Father as well. And the unity that they had, even though the church of Thessalonica was very far from where Paul was. At this time, he was many, many, many days walk away. And that was perhaps not the quickest way, but one of the few ways available at that time. He was a good distance away from them writing this letter, yet they were unified in having one Father. Paul then further says that this grace and peace is not only coming from God, our Father, but it is also coming from the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think of Jesus, do we lift him up as he ought to be? He is described here as the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not sure if perhaps the Thessalonian church was having difficulties in understanding this, but we'll find that this is repeated in verse 3 and in verse 6, that he is the Lord. It's mentioned over and over and over again throughout this book. And so we have a reminder to the Thessalonian church. I don't know what they were struggling with, but Paul is trying to encourage them that Jesus Christ is the Lord. He is the one who has the right to speak authoritatively, commanding the church. Christian, there's a reason that we take the title Christian. Because Christ is part of that name. Little Christ or like Christ, that is what Christian means. And here, the church need to recognize that Jesus Christ is the Lord. He is the one directing, commanding, requiring, and making requests that needed to be obeyed by the church. This foundation sets us in the right place to receive the rest of the message of 1 Thessalonians. If we are looking to Jesus Christ as our Lord, if we are looking to him as the one who has the right to command us, and if we are gathering together, unified around God the Father, who is our Father, not just the father of the pastor, not just the father of the adults in the room, but the father of each of us who have called out to his Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation. And we then are unified in coming together. And then to us, grace and peace can arrive. Now, so far we've seen in verse 1 that there is a lot to learn about the lordship of Jesus. There's a lot to learn about how good God is to us. I want us then to see in verse 2, we'll briefly mention this, but we'll hit this again at another time, that Paul and Timotheus and Silvanus, that's Silas, they all gave thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. They had a lot of prayers, and when they were praying, they remembered the church in Thessalonica. They remembered that church. They remembered the people in that church. They remembered what a number of things about them, and we'll see those in verses 3 and following. But here we have an encouragement to prayer, and we'll just leave that there because, again, one of the themes of this year is to be a praying church. So we'll leave that to the side and focus in on verse 3. What is it that they mentioned in their prayers without ceasing. It was in verse 3, remembering without ceasing their work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope. And then if you jump down to verse 4, the election of God. Those are the four things that they praised God for and remembered in their prayers when giving thanks to God. And we'll be dealing with as many of those as we can fit in the next 20 minutes. So, verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Now, for most of you, you may remember that we have dealt with faith a few times in the evening service recently, and faith and works, they aren't the same. And yet here we have them being connected. How is faith a work? And that's the question we're going to ask first. How is faith a work in this instance? We are not talking about working up your faith, you know, like someone might work themselves up into an emotional state or hyperventilate and fall on the floor or some other way of working yourself up. But instead, this is a work of faith. That is, faith at work in the people. Faith, it is something that is unseen. But just like the wind, when it blows, you don't see the air, but you see the leaves moving around, don't you? You see the effects of it. Here, the faith, it works and it causes a change in people. If faith comes into our heart, and we have faith towards God, it will change us. That first day when you called out to God for deliverance, however you said it, maybe you said, God, I'm a sinner, I don't want to go to hell, help me. Or maybe you said, Jesus, come into my heart. Or perhaps you said, I know I'm unworthy, but Jesus' blood covers all sin. Whatever your prayer to God was, you expressed faith in the fact that God was offering salvation. And that faith was counted to you for righteousness. It was counted to you for righteousness. And in that day, there was a change. I know for some people, they at that very moment, stopped doing bad habits or turned their back on sinful practices and never went back to them. Others, from that moment, there was a love and desire towards God that was unmistakable. Reading their Bible was something they wanted to do. Or the chore of going to church became their favorite thing to do because it wasn't a chore anymore. There was a change. It was night and day. Faith worked in them. Secondly, we find that they were marked by a labor of love. They immediately began to love others. But it wasn't a wishy-washy feelings love. It was a love with feet on it. They saw their friend, neighbor, or other member in the church in need, and they went and helped. They saw their friend, neighbor, or other church member in sorrow, and they mourned with them. They saw the joy in someone's life, and they joined in the rejoicing. There was love shown. And it wasn't just in the easy things, it was a labor of love. The word labor means hard work. It is the kind of work that makes you sweat and put in all the effort you got laboring. a labor of love. The church at Thessalonica was full of people whose faith was able to be seen, who were laboring in love. And then thirdly, there was a patience of hope. They looked forward to the Lord Jesus Christ coming. They looked forward to receiving what they were believing in. Perhaps tonight you believe you're a Christian. You say, I did that one time. I prayed. I'm saved. But it doesn't always feel like it. It doesn't feel like it. You know, today you struggled with thoughts and you struggled with desires. You struggled with, you know, not wanting to do the things God's clearly told you in the Scripture you should do. And it's a thing of, it looks hopeless. Your eyes aren't seeing anything. And you say, am I truly saved? In the end, when we get to heaven, if we have trusted in Christ, He will receive us. If we have looked to Him, if we have hope in Him, that word hope is not wishful thinking hope. It is that settled conviction, being convinced that you have what you do not have in your hand, but that is promised to you. Righteousness. Can I see righteousness? No. Can I see perfection in my life? No. Can I see resurrection power? No. If I look around me, I see people who are on their way to death. And I've never yet met someone who rose from the dead in the flesh. I'm looking forward to those things being true. But it is by faith. It is hope. Biblical hope. Where you're trusting and resting in that which is sure and certain, but unseen. Notice they do not just have hope, but they have patience of hope. The Thessalonian church was marked by a steadfast trust in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were marked by this patience in the midst of actual persecutions, in the midst of false teachers coming and trying to sway them to other hopes. They were marked by patience, waiting for our Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in Him. This was their stay. This was the thing that held them up, that protected them, that carried them through. So we've seen now three things. The Thessalonian church was marked by people who were marked by faith. Faith had done a work in them. They had begun laboring in love towards other people. And they were patient in hope. They didn't give up no matter what the difficulty was. They continued to trust in God. I want us to see that their hope, before we move from that idea of the patience of hope, I want us to see what their hope was in. It was in our Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to notice that little word, our, again. Our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the sight of God, our Father. Again, Paul is saying, this isn't just God up there in the clouds. This isn't just Jesus who died and rose again, but He is our Lord. He is our Father. There is a possession, a relationship that is indicated here. There's a relationship between us and our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, He is Lord. Yes, He has right to command us, to instruct us, to call for us to work for Him. And He also is our Savior and our friend. Our patience of hope can only be manifested if it is in the correct object. There are many people in this world who have faith. They'll say that, oh, I have faith, or I believe, or I'm a Christian, and yet their faith is not in our Lord Jesus Christ. Their faith is in an impersonal power. Their faith is in some false religion. Their faith is in anything except our Lord Jesus Christ. If your faith is in anything except Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're missing out. And if He is our Lord and Savior, then we can rejoice because He is ours and we are His. There is a relationship between us and Him. Notice the hope is in our Lord Jesus Christ, and this hope is also in the sight of God and our Father. This is very comforting. Perhaps today you have gone through seasons of doubt, fear. You have said, oh yeah, I think I made it. Things have been hard. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, and it is in the sight of God our Father. It's not about what you see, how good you remember, the perfection of your prayer and the beautiful words you used. It's not in the amazing experience or feelings that you had. Our certainty is fixed in God. God saw you. He claimed you as His own. You reached out to Him in faith, and He said, that's one of mine. And from that moment, it is in the sight of God our Father, who never changes. In other places, we are told that we are kept secure in Jesus' hand, and that Jesus is kept in God the Father's hand, and no one can pluck us out. No one can pluck us out. Our security is based not upon us, our failability, our ability to do this or that work, our faithfulness in attending, but our security of salvation is that we are seen by God, and He is ours, and we are His. That is our security. Paul gave thanks in his prayers always for the Thessalonian church because the gospel had worked in their lives. It had caused them to show fruit, the fruit of love, the fruit of patience, and that it was founded not in the works they had done, but the salvation that they had was secure in the sight of God who never changes. This is the same for you. If you have come to God as a little child cries out for help from their parents, someone they trust, if you have called out to God for deliverance from sin, from self, He has answered, and in His sight, you are His child. He is your Father, and that will never change, no matter how far you wander, no matter how horrible you have acted, your life is secure in God. Now, just as a word of caution, this doesn't mean we should go out and sin some more, right? Let's not go there. Don't even start to go there. But our hope is in Jesus, and it is in God that we are declared righteous. It's not because of how loudly you have prayed, but it is because we are accepted by God because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for us. And now we are related to Jesus and to the Father, and we can use the Our Father phraseology. I forgot how to say that there for a second. We can now call Him Our Father. He's ours and we are His. This brings us then to our final point, which we do not have enough time for, in verse 4. So we'll come back to that at a later date. But these are all things that we can work on in our own life. Remember the work of faith in your life. Remember the labor of love that God has called you to. Don't give up in hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, and know that your security is that God sees you and you are related to Him now forever. This is why we can give thanks to God always. This is why we gather together as a church. We gather together to acknowledge Jesus Christ, our Lord, and to acknowledge that God is not just the Father, but He is our Father. This is why we come together. This is what we can remember. And if people point out Grace Baptist Church of Melanda, do they remember how God has changed our lives? Do they remember the love that we have one towards another? Do they note how patient we are in our faith and hope regarding Jesus Christ? That our security is in God. Do they see how close we want to walk with our Father, which is in heaven? Or do they see us as people who are far from God? Hopefully for you tonight, you match 1 Thessalonians verse 3 of chapter 1. And if that is true, then rejoice in remembering what God has done for you. And if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if He is not your Lord, if God is not your Father, if God seems far away and not much hope is in your heart, then I would beg of you to come and talk to me about that. Because God wants us to be sure of our salvation. God wants us to demonstrate all of these signals of a changed life. And I would love to explain to you salvation from God's Word. So let's close now with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the example of the church in Thessalonica. We thank You for Paul's remembrance of them. And Lord, we thank You that we can imitate them in our actions and in our faith. And Lord, we ask that You would help us to truly be examples of believers, Lord, both in word but also in power and in changed life. Lord, we ask that You would help any here tonight who are in fear or in doubt, Lord, who lack assurance, that You would work in their hearts, Lord, that they would see the truth, that it is only faith in You, faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, our Savior, that brings life, that brings us security of salvation. And Lord, we ask that You would bless each one as they consider whether You truly are their Father tonight. In Jesus' precious name, we ask this in Amen.